This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He writes about the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. He's brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Ray, where are we here? What's happening? Update us. So who's the favorite right now to be the Steelers quarterback? Who else is in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, we're 2 weeks in, and you know how your iPhone keeps track of your screen time and your calls and all that. I mean, I feel like I've had my iPhone on me for 2 weeks straight now. You know, you take it with you to bed and you get up in the morning, you look at it and, you know, here we are. Joe, I mean, I think there's got to be a resolution soon. I think it's gone on too long here. And I think, you know, one side or the other here probably has to make a call. Relatively soon. So that's where I think it's at, just reading the tea leaves and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. But you're right. I mean, it's been a long and drawn out process, and here we are still waiting.
So how do you think it turns out? What's your gut feel right now? Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? And if not, do they just go with Mason?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like the whole Wilson thing just seems to be totally on the back burner. Yeah, I mean, at this point, Joe, I've been saying it. I'm going to stick with it. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson is still out there. Bill Cowher, in fact, was just stumping for him to be the guy. And Art said after the season that our preference and priority is to get either Russell or Justin. So what happened? Is it because him and Artie don't get along? Was Art just bluffing as a way to maybe bring down the price on Justin by threatening to sign Russell? Where is Russell? Why isn't Russell Wilson here?
Yeah, I know that's been referenced a lot, Joe, what Art said after the season. And you're right. He did say that. I don't know if he misspoke or, like you said, maybe it was a negotiating ploy to pit those two against each other in terms of negotiations. So it's apparent now that he wasn't their second choice, because immediately after Fields, the news that Fields broke, you know, they had moved on to Aaron Rodgers and Sam Darnold. Then Sam Darnold goes off the market, I think, within 24 hours. And, you know, Rodgers and the rest of these guys are still out there. So I wish I knew an answer to that question. Maybe it's as simple as he misspoke and, you know, he wasn't, you know, in tune with what the head coach and other members of the front office were thinking.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So then there's the idea of drafting somebody, Ray, and Jerry Dulac, colleague at the Post-Gazette, talks about, you know, there's the top two guys out there, at least for most people, yep. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. But then there's Jalen Milroe, right, who they took out to dinner. There's Quinn Ewers. There's Tyler Shuck. And there's the great Jackson Dart. Do you think they're going to draft a quarterback in the top three rounds? And if they take one at 21, who's the best bet?
Well, I don't think they're taking one at 21, Joe. You know, I honestly don't think, and Jerry has also reported that even if Aaron Rodgers signs, it's only going to be a one-year deal. So I think this talk about drafting a quarterback is real, whether we get that Rodgers news, you know, soon, or whether we get that Rodgers news, you know, a week or a month from now. You pick a guy like Jalen Milroe in the third or fourth round, a guy like Quinn Ewers or, you know, Will Howard. That's where those guys are probably going to fall, late day two, early day three in the draft. And you take a flyer on them, right? I mean, these guys aren't top prospects. You're going to see what you have in them. Maybe the ceiling in the end after a year or two, maybe one of those guys is your long-term backup. But you take a flyer on them, and then you still have the ability next year to go get your quarterback as well. I think everything is pointing to them, the way they're compiling these comp picks. Everything is pointing to them next year trying to get their franchise quarterback.
Najee Harris had some interesting comments to switch topics here, Ray, and basically said, you know, there were no leaders when I got to Pittsburgh, nobody to show me the way, that type of thing, nobody to learn from. How did you view that? Sour grapes or real? You know, like he has a real point.
Well, he was supposed to be a leader. Tomlin crowned him in his second year. So I don't know, maybe he should have taken on a little bit more of that responsibility. I vividly remember this, Joe, and I don't want to pick on Najee because I think Najee overall was a good football player, and you know, he went out there every week and he competed. But I remember specifically COVID practices at Heinz Field or Acrisure. Okay, we're sitting in that bowl, and I remember Najee's rookie season. Ben took him under his wing, would wrap his arm around him, would talk to him, you know, basically telling him, hey, you know, we all knew that was Ben's last season or close to it. We probably knew that. And Ben and the other guys were trying to prepare Najee and some of those other young players to be the leaders, because after Ben left, we all know there wasn't anyone there. Pat Freiermuth came in the same class. He's developed into a good leader. Same exact class as Najee. So I don't know. My gut feeling is, and again, I don't want to bang on Najee, but, you know, you were voted a captain in year two. Maybe that responsibility should have fallen on you instead of you looking for others to do it.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, if you're looking for leaders, what's that tell you? And what happened to you as a captain? Why weren't you a captain in year three if you weren't in year two? And you're right, he came in and he had a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Could you have a better guy to learn from offense-wise? Right. And then they thought, Tomlin thought enough of you to make you the leader. You were you were literally the leader in year two. You were an offensive captain. And then he's talking about their identity. Their identity was to hand you the ball a trillion times, unfortunately, and throw it to you. Unfortunately, the longest run of your entire career was 37 yards. And I'm not going to go into the list again, Ray, of Steelers running backs who had a longer run than Najee. Would you like to, though, just for the hell of it? No.
Well, Walter Abercrombie, Ernest Jackson, Frank Pollard,
Richard Huntley, Tim Worley, Chris Fuamatu Maafala. Did you say Najee Davenport? Jonathan Dwyer. They all had higher yards per carry and a longer run than Najee. So I'm with you on that. I really am. All right. Next topic is the off season, and I was going to have you and me and Limits engage in a little game of grading the Steelers off season. Ray, are you in the mood for that?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's give a grade to each guy as we go along, each sign, at least the main ones. And if I forget somebody, please correct me. Let's start with the big one, DK Metcalf. What do you give that signing?
Joe, I like that. I'm going to say B+.
I give it an A.
I give it an A. Why are you such a hard grader, Ray? Why are you getting it? Why is it in the B range?
Well, I just think $30 million a year is a lot. I think that's top five receiver money, right? Or definitely top 10. And you got to have a quarterback to throw it to him. So as long as you get your quarterback that you want, I think that's there's potential to get up to an A. But right now, B+.
I do like the way it was structured, where it's apparently basically a two-year deal, where the Steelers, it's then team options after that. I really like that aspect of it. Sort of a low cap hit to begin with. And it's, you know, it's a two-year, $60 million deal. I'm giving it an A. Mason Rudolph.
A-. I like it. You know, that guy can come in and, you know, pinch hit for you for a quarter, a game, a month even. And he's proven he can lead you to victory, so I like it.
I give it a B. Good backup option. Obviously not going to be the answer, but kind of surprised it happened. Happy it is, though.
I hate to... you know, put parameters on this, but it depends for me if he's a backup or a starter. If this guy's going to be your starter, I give it a D. If he's just coming in as a backup and, like you said, a pinch hitter, yeah, then I'll go, you know, a B, something like that. Is that okay, Ray? You're the head grader. You're the teacher. You put out the report card every week during the season. May I break that into two categories?
Joe, you may.
Kenneth Gainwell.
I'm going to go B+. I like him. The only drawback, and I don't necessarily even think it's a drawback, is he's very similar to Jaylen Warren, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I give it a B-. He's a good player in spurts. I mean, not obviously a starter, but when you utilize him correctly, 15 to 20 snaps, I like him.
C+. You know, like Ray said, he's sort of redundant to me, and he also doesn't show a ton of explosion. What's the longest run of his career, Limits? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head.
You should. You're the beat writer. I'm sorry.
Probably
I
against
said
the
that.
Steelers in December.
That's a good line, Ray. It's Limit's birthday, by the way, and I'm giving him hell on his birthday.
Happy birthday, Limits.
Thank you, Ray. His longest run is 32 yards. Him and Najee Harris have something in common.
Yeah, he's the only guy in the league that doesn't have a run as long as Najee. So, yeah, I'm giving that a C+. He's a good little player, you know, but he's not that good.
I think it does point to the fact that they're probably, when they draft a running back, I do think it'll be not necessarily a Najee type, but a bigger back who maybe is explosive,
they
can
need
maybe handle goal line duties.
Yes, yeah. I think they need some more talent and explosion. Okay, yeah. Darius Slay.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one that I'm kind of like B- on. I'm just kind of tired of going down the road of the veteran corner. He's 34 years old. It just seems like they're putting off drafting and developing guys. And I get it. You earmarked your money elsewhere. You went and got DK Metcalf. I get that. But at some point, you're going to have to draft and develop these guys. And here we are putting it off for another year.
I'm with Ray. I'm at a B-. I like Darius Slay. I don't understand it from his perspective why he'd want to come here. And you're also not getting younger. The only thing that could make it a silver lining is if they draft a corner in like the third round and Slay is somebody that could mentor him. But I don't know if that's his role.
You mean you would have preferred, if you were him, a team with more of a chance to win?
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
I don't understand why he, from like his perspective, of why he would want to come here. Unless it was just that nobody was offering him nearly as much money as the Steelers were at $10 million. Because I don't believe this whole he wanted to play for Mike Tomlin thing. That's like a side subject as to why he would want to come here.
Ray, what do you think of Limit's commentary?
I love it. Give him the show. Give him a four.
Okay, we will. Especially on his birthday. Well, why do you think he wanted to come here? Not Limits, but Slay.
Well, he did say he wanted to come 2 years ago, and you know the Eagles were toying with releasing him, and basically they said, "Just hold on, we're gonna redo your contract." And I think he accepted a little pay cut, and it, you know, it was okay with him at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people drop Joe Hayden's name. When Joe Hayden came here, he was 28 years old. This dude is like 6 years older than that. So it's a big difference. I don't know. My fear is Patrick Peterson part two. I'm going to go C on this one. Maybe a C plus. I don't know. Is there anybody else to mention? I guess Malik Harrison. You wrote about him today. You can read that at postgazette.com, I might add. Ray Fittipaldo on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. How about Malik?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about him today. I really didn't touch on this because it was kind of getting into the weeds, but the way I look at it, it's almost insurance against Cole Holcomb not returning to his previous form, because you don't really need four inside backers. He was mostly an inside backer with the Ravens. I know there's a lot of talk about him playing on the edge too. He does that a little bit, but we don't really know, you know, if he could be the number four. So at this point, kind of a luxury to get that guy for $5 million a year. I kind of want to wait to see how that unfolds, but he was a decent player for the Ravens. So I'm willing to wait and see how it plays out.
I give it a D. I don't like this move at all. I would have brought Landon Roberts back. I think he did a really good job in run defense last year. No, he's not great in coverage, but you could have got Roberts at a cheaper rate, and I know that he's an older player, than Malik Harrison, who's also on a two-year contract. With the amount of inside linebackers that they have and the amount of money that they allocated to Patrick Queen, I don't like it.
Indirectly, he's just insulted you, Ray. What do you make of his take?
No, listen, I understand. I'm curious. I want to see how it plays out. How do you play four inside backers?
Me too.
Did a great job. He did a great job as the dime linebacker. You're not going to change him out or decrease his playing time.
I agree with limits. I think it's a downgrade at the position with Roberts. That's why I give it a D. Do you disagree?
I'm a little higher than that, but I'm like in wait and see mode, you know.
How about Equally on the defensive line? Do we even bother with this, or are we now scraping the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, I mean, Echols, Equally, I mean, they signed another defensive lineman. These guys will be on the roster in training camp. I think they got to make the team, though. I mean, the thing about Equally is, and I understand he started 16 games, but the first time he ever started a game was last season when he was 30 years old. So obviously a career backup. That's what he's going to be here. We'll see if he makes the team.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
All right, Ray, then your overall grade for this offseason to this point.
Oh, man, can we break it up like you wanted to? I mean, if they get Rodgers, it's probably in the B to B plus range. If they don't, you know, you might have to go C minus D. You know, that's kind of where I am right now.
Twin Cities?
Yeah, I'm right around the same mark, right around the C.
D minus to this point, Ray. They have a lot of needs, but then they only have one need, and that is a franchise quarterback. And they didn't.
Well, what if they get Rodgers, though?
He stinks, and they didn't get their guy. They've already failed their own mission. Their mission was to get Justin Fields, and they apparently lowballed him in one fashion or another, or certainly didn't give him the idea that he was the guy, and they didn't get him. So we're sitting here. What's the date? You know, it's your birthday.
March 21st.
On March 21st, and the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a quarterback, unless you want to put Mason Rudolph in that category. And then, you know, okay, so a year late, Omar finally addressed the receiver situation. Good for him. I don't have a lot of faith that this is going to get addressed properly. Last year, they had a gaping hole at receiver, never got addressed. Gaping hole on the defensive line with depth, never got addressed. Gaping hole with secondary corner depth, I should say. And their best move was a desperate Cam Sutton signing. I mean, what are we doing here? We're sitting here waiting on Aaron Rodgers. They get a D minus, Ray. But you like Rodgers. Do you think he can still play?
I like him better than Wilson just because I think I think he'll probably be a better fit for Arthur Smith's system. And I think there's potential for them to be better on offense. Yes.
Fair enough. And I certainly respect your opinion. And you can read all of Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. It's almost that time for us to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. March 25th, next week, our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. In the meantime, you can text NEED to 50155 or go to the Metropolitan Window Company online donation center, and your donation will provide meals locally. Brought to you by Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway Chevrolet, and Aetna. All details at 937thefan.com. So when is your next mock draft coming out, Ray?
Well, if this quarterback situation ever gets resolved, I'll probably do one next week, but I'm probably going to wait to see what happens there. So next week or the week after.
How shocked would you be if they traded for Kirk Cousins?
I would be shocked at this point.
Yeah. What about somebody like Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Joe, I think if we don't get the news on Rodgers soon, I think it's probably going to be, I would go probably Mason after that, and then Russell would still be my fallback option, but I think it's going to be Mason if they don't ink Rodgers here, you know, soon. Hey, maybe by the time we talk next Friday, we'll have a resolution. What do you think?
It depends. Do we have the little clip of where Aaron could be right now? Limits, perhaps in the darkness somewhere. I don't know. Maybe on a beach with a photo shoot. I don't know.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
I love that. If we could, you know what you need to do?
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan.
If you could put in 8 years, like substitute maybe Pomp's voice of this playoff drought, it's been 8 years of complete darkness for the Steelers. That would be tremendous. Ray, I thank you for your time. You're a wonderful man. I don't have a free association today. It's just there's not enough right now. Yeah. But we'll get back to
that. I'll take a rain check till next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Ray. What a nice man he is, huh?
He's wonderful.
Donnie Football is here. And
is he?
Something happened to his foot. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah. Much to my surprise.
Did he throw something on his foot or smash his foot in the door when Yale lost last night, his big upset pick against Texas A&M?
That's what I'm wondering. Because I, you know, texted him like I do every Friday to see if he can do a little quiz show and a breakdown.
Yeah.
Bechtold's breakdown at
right.
The noon hour. He said, TBD getting my foot checked out at MedExpress, LOL.
Oh, boy, that ain't good.
I said, what happened? He said, just a sprained strain. I'll be good for noon. But that still doesn't answer the question of what happened, does
it? A sprained strain?
This wasn't something that happened after a few beers at home, was it?
So did he already have it strained and then he sprained the strain?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Does he need
Donnie.
A strainer?
I'm a little worried. But we do have a quiz show coming up at noon. He said he's good. He'll be here. And I don't know. Will he be on crutches?
No.
Like Wani was during 13-9?
Will we have a boot?
I don't know. I'm as curious as you are, Limits.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, let's talk about Robert RMU's big chance. Robert Morris, RM. Does anybody still call them Robert Morris, or do we just go RMU?
A little bit of both.
Okay. They have their big chance today. Who's to say they can't do it? I mean, I could go down the list of incredible upsets in NCAA tournament history. I wouldn't predict it, but that's why they play the game. Keep it close. Get the crowd behind you in Cleveland. Who knows what could happen? Andy Toole had some interesting things to say about that. You'll hear from him next on Pomp and Joe. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, who walked right into the studio here but one of our legendary salespeople, Marty Tuffer. Marty, how are you?
Good, Joe. How are you doing, buddy?
Really well. You have a very smooth radio presence. Were you ever on the air?
A few times.
With your own show?
No, Joe. No, just walking by the studio. People call me in when they got nothing to talk about.
I'm sorry. He's also very combative, Marty Tuffer. Is any limits?
Maybe it's just against you. He's pretty kind to me.
So the reason why I called Marty in is he was roommates with John Calipari at Clarion.
Way back
all when. Those years ago. Calipari's team with a real nice win sets him up to go against Rick Pitino. Plus, he's always entertaining, as he was again in his post game. What was Calipari like in college, Marty?
It was a good guy, a really good guy, and focused. There was one guy, you know, when you look back at all the people you knew in college, I knew he was going to be a basketball coach. That's all we...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when he was a senior, he used to volunteer for the Dapper Dan, or no, the round ball class.
Yeah. The round ball with Sonny Vaccaro.
With Sonny, yeah. And John was coaching when he was a senior in high school. He was he had his own camp for first and second graders at Moon High School. You know what I mean? So it's in his blood deep. So.
Now, when I was at Cortland State, and you and I are of the same generation, our dorm room was the size of a closet, yet two of us had to sleep in there. Beds opposite sides. So it was just you and Calipari?
Me and Calipari in the bathroom, and the shower was down the hallway.
That's unbelievable.
That was it.
So how organized was he? Were you both very organized?
He was organized. I wasn't organized.
Yeah? So all his clothes were very neatly sought out and everything else?
I guess. I mean, we're talking many years ago.
I know.
Many years ago. But he was a focused guy.
Did he have a refrigerator, TV in the dorm room?
No.
Was he up early and out the door, off to his day?
John liked to sleep.
Did he?
Yeah, he liked to sleep in if he didn't have class. So,
did you ever have parties there?
In the dorm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. John let his hair down, too.
So. Did he? Did you?
Oh, yeah. It's the Moon High. Come on.
You also let your mustache down. Yeah. Now, when did you grow your mustache, Marty?
I had a mustache most of my life, and when I had children late in the age, facial hair makes you look old. So I cut my mustache off like 20 years ago.
But now it's back.
I just put it back on about 4 or 5 years ago.
Love
it. My daughter said, hey, put it back on. But he had a great win last night. It was a great game.
That was a great game. You approve of Marty's mustache limits, or you prefer a mustacheless?
I do.
JP has a better one. So.
It's not Paul Skeens' mustache, but it's definitely one of a kind.
But it'll do. Often are you in touch with Calipari? Like last night, do you drop him a text?
I text him. Yeah, I text him. You know, and I imagine he got 1,000 texts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, 1982 is when we were together for 2.5 years, but that's how long ago we were together.
That's a really cool thing to be able to say, Marty, and I appreciate
you taking
the time.
He's a good guy,
He's always seemed like a good guy. You know, as you hear from people in this line of work, and they'll say, man, you know, my uncle passed away or whatever, and Calipari showed up from out of nowhere. Like, he'll just come into town and leave without anybody really knowing about it except the people he was there to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. His coach from Moon, Sacco, got into the final in single A a few years. Oh, man. My daughter was in fifth grade. I was at a show for my daughter, and he was in town to see him. He finally made it to the finals, and he flew in just to see his high school coach, and he flew out. I said, you know what I mean? And no one knew about it. And I said, cool. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
He does stuff like that. He does a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. I hear it all the time. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
What a wonderful radio voice he has as well, Limits, right?
That was awesome. I'm glad he could join us.
We could do the Tougher and Limits show.
We could. It'd be tougher than doing the show with you.
Certainly would.
Did you like that pun? Thanks, Marty.
Yes, I did. All right.
You didn't get the pun?
Tougher, I did get Marty the, of tougher? Course I did. Yeah, I got, yes.
Very good. I'm glad you got it.
Let's move on to RMU. And I love this. And I just hope they can hang around. And I hope they make Alabama a little bit nervous. Even though Nate Oates is one of my favorites, the Alabama coach, because he restored the University of Buffalo to great pride. Actually, Bobby Hurley helped get them there as well. I went to the University of Buffalo. Did you know that?
Yes. You've gone to multiple places. Cortland State, the University of Buffalo, Duquesne.
Duquesne, CCAC.
Yes. Yeah, anywhere else I've left out?
All kinds of places. Damon College, where my dad taught. That's
teaching
right.
At Waynesburg, too.
Yeah, teaching at Waynesburg. Substitute teacher in the Pittsburgh City Schools a long time ago. Did you know that, Limit?
No, did not.
When I was at the University of Buffalo, they didn't have a football stadium. We used to just sit on like a hill next to the stadium and watch the game, even covering the game. Their press box was extremely tiny.
They had a press box. It wasn't a rock box. You didn't sit on any rocks while you watched the game.
May have been a rock box. Yeah. And we had some legendary pickup games there as well. In fact, one where we shocked these guys who thought they were going to kill us. And I was hitting shots. It must have been 30 feet. It was unbelievable. Do you find yourself remembering weird little like pickup games?
Oh, yeah.
Wiffle ball games from 30 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
I guess because we never made it to the pros or college. Those are the games we remember.
I remember a game when I was in like the fifth grade and we played a basketball game against St. Phillips and it's late in the game and I had this huge steal and I got fouled on like a clear path foul and I got to shoot a couple of free throws and we ended up winning the game.
They had clear path fouls in elementary school
basketball?
I don't
know if they actually called it a clear path foul, but it was like a clear path, like intentional type of foul.
Yeah.
So I got to shoot the free throws like all by myself at the free throw line and I was like nervous to tie. It would have been to tie the game with like 30 seconds left. I made 1 of 2 to tie it.
I still remember a home run I hit off Craig Panini in our backyard. We had a big wooden fence and then the foul pole was a hockey stick that I attached to the top of the fence. Panini threw a curveball and I waited on it and drilled this like high moonshot and it went off the hockey stick to win a game. It was unbelievable.
I still remember the home run that I hit in Baldwin Wiffle Ball Season 3 to beat our arch nemesis, the team that we couldn't get past in the playoffs, the Bulls, led by, you know, you're playing against like some of your best friends, but once you go out there on the field, you
it's
absolutely
all business.
Hate
yeah,
each
you
other.
You have no friends in wiffle ball it's when you're on the field.
Me and one of my good friends, Ziegler, who is a law student up in UMass Dartmouth,
yeah.
We went a whole month in the summer 1 year not speaking to each other because we were so upset over what happened in wiffle ball year 2.
You just reminded me of Cortland State, which I just mentioned to Marty. I wasn't getting along with my roommate, John Zarella from Staten Island. So it was me and another dude against John and somebody else. And it was in the snow in the yard right behind the dorm. Nobody around. It was a night game. There were lights on that piece of lawn. Limits, there has never been a more vicious sporting event in the history of American sports. It was unbelievable.
A more vicious sporting event.
And we won in the end because he couldn't cover me because I was taller and he kept throwing, my teammate kept throwing lob throws to me. Also, I remember wiffle ball games in the backyard on Lisbon Avenue in Buffalo, my first apartment. We used to hit homers off somebody's house and the backdrop was an elementary school, but we had a ritual where we would have a brand new wiffle ball for each game. You know, the wiffle ball in the box?
Oh, yeah.
And Adam Brown would be the guy. I'd pour the wiffle ball into his hands, the brand new one, and then he would raise it like Russell Martin when the Pirates broke their streak with that play at the plate.
In Chicago.
That Limits? Yeah. Remember who made the throw to him?
Neil Walker, the relay, because the ball was bobbled in center field.
You sure it wasn't Justin Morneau?
Oh, no, it was Justin Morneau. It was Justin Morneau.
We'll go back and check that beside
the
point.
I think you might
be right. One day we played a trick on him. Dan Doran did, Limits. And instead of pouring a fresh wiffle ball, when the box was poured into Adam Brown's hands, it was a steaming fresh pile of dog crap. And we all went to the ground crying. Thoughts?
We at Waynesburg played in what we call the Comm Bowl, which is the Comm football game every year.
No reaction to a steaming pile of dog
this
crap
is where
going
the,
into
this,
his... Okay.
This is where I'm going with this. Yeah. I'm connecting the dots here. And we were going to play on the actual Waynesburg football field, the nice turf field.
Yeah.
The field was locked, and we had to play on a field that had a bunch of geese poop on it.
Mm.
And I did not want any part of being tackled into the geese poop.
So you withdrew?
I basically did. I played in the game, but I basically withdrew myself because I did not want that gross, disgusting geese stuff.
All right. I think we've bottomed out on that topic. Let's go to Andy Toole and Robert Morris and what he had to say.
It was Justin Morneau.
Yeah, I knew that.
I was just checking.
You're the beat writer. You should have known.
I know.
Who made the play in the outfield?
It was bobbled by either McCutcheon or Marlon Byrd. I think it was Marlon Byrd, and then McCutcheon threw it in.
Yes, it was. That's exactly how it happened.
Bobbled by Byrd in right field. He overran it. McCutcheon threw it to the mound where, wow, Morneau off one hop.
It was a great, great
play. I've only seen the play 1,000 times. I don't know why I couldn't remember it clear as day. And then Jason, the image that I truly remember is Jason Grilley hugging Russell Martin behind home plate, and Neil Walker just looking stunned as he hugs Clint Barmas.
What a great moment that was. Do you remember who recorded the final out? It was a ground ball of their wild card playoff win to send them off to St. Louis.
Yeah, it was Jason Grilley. It was a ground ball to the right side of the infield and a quick little throw over to second base.
Who fielded it?
Wouldn't it have been Walker?
Yes.
The ground ball to second.
Yes, it was Neil Walker.
Yes, it was.
And I want you to find that call if you could. Greg Brown saying it's off to St. Louis.
Louis.
Oh, did I love that. This is Andy Toole. I can't wait to watch it today. I really can't. I just hope they hang in there and keep our interest. That would be fun. They almost had a win. What was the RMU? Was it Illinois a few years back? Limits where they felt like they got ripped off at the end. Was that the game? Were you watching that game?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know the game that you're referencing. I don't think it was against Illinois. I'm going to check it out here.
Well, go ahead and play the Toole quotes from yesterday.
All right, so we have three. Let's start with Andy Toole talking about how playing in this type of game is the highlight of your life and how it related back to their team years ago.
Our director of basketball operations, Matt Sweet, a couple of years ago had a bout with cancer at 28 years old. And so before the championship game against Youngstown, on the bottom of our scouting report, it said highlight of your life. And as we were going through our pregame stuff, when we got to that point, Coach Sweet spoke up and basically said, when you have a incredible health situation like I did with cancer, you're going to reflect on the highlights of your life. And going to the NCAA tournament is a highlight of your life. And he urged the guys and said, go make a highlight of your life. And so whether you play 40 minutes tomorrow or you play 0 minutes tomorrow, to be a part of this is a highlight of your life. And I'm just happy as a coach and a coaching staff that we've been able to help provide these guys this opportunity.
That's great stuff. And Jeff Hathorn did the legwork there. Just awesome to hear that story. And that's what Colin Beasley wrote about in the Post-Gazette today. It was Villanova back in 2010. My God, that seems like it was sooner than that. Back in 2010, Villanova beat Robert Morris 73-70, and there was some questionable officiating. Also, back in 1990, they gave a real good game to a number two seed, Kansas, 79-71. So who's to say they won't hang around and make this interesting? Certainly not me. I'm giving them a chance to at least do that. What's the next clip?
And that was a game against Villanova that they ended up going to overtime against, as Robert Morris in 2010 was a 15 seed.
Yes, limits. I just mentioned
73-70 in overtime. But what I wanted to point out is they have won two games in the tournament, and whether it be the first four or the preliminary round back in 1983 before ultimately losing to either number one or number two seeds. The highest seed RMU has ever been was a 12 in both 82 and 83. Just wanted to point that out, as Andy Toole also talked in line with this about not forgetting about the mid-majors and what they mean in this tournament.
You know, my fear is that most things that are getting decided are what's best for Power Four. Meanwhile, one of the reasons that people watch this tournament is because of the mid-majors and the low majors. And hopefully we don't lose sight of that. So however expansion occurs, if and when it occurs, and usually when there's a small groundswell of expansion talk, that usually means it's coming down the pipe, and so we got to get ready for it. And I just hope that they keep the opportunity for mid-majors and low majors to be a part of this, because I don't care what anybody says, as much as it means to be in the NCAA tournament across the board, when you win your regular season, you win your conference tournament championship, it's different than when you come in sixth place, right? And if college athletics was all about the high majors and the power fours being what drives this, sure, when the Final Four comes, that's what drives it. But the ratings for a, you know, Fox, ESPN, CBS Sports Network, Monday night game that has, I don't know, Wake Forest, Florida State would be way higher if everyone just cared about the Power Four schools, right? For some reason, these games today and tomorrow, the 15-2s, the 14-3s, the 12-5s, those draw the eyeballs of people that don't watch basketball the other 363 days a year. And that's a really unique thing that we can't lose.
Man, I agree with that. Every single bit of that, I agree with. We talked about it yesterday. I think the main, there's two main attractions to this for the general populace, I think. One is the fun of the brackets. It becomes, you know, bracket madness. I was getting texts yesterday from people that I hardly ever talk to from like my childhood in Buffalo. Hey, I got a bracket here. You know, everybody's filling one out. And the other is the upset. It just captures the imagination, and it has for a long time. It's David against Goliath. You remember that one, Limits? Ron covered that.
Yes, I do remember that. Were you about to call me Ron?
Yeah. Ron was, in fact, had the first one-on-one with Goliath after that game.
You're a pathetic person, you know that?
Yeah. How about that? What did Goliath have to say to him? Pretty depressed, David beat him down.
He thought he took him for granted.
Yeah.
He was a heavy favorite going in, took him for granted, and that's what you get if you don't prepare.
That happens. UMBC, Virginia, FDU, and Purdue.
Yeah, I think that actually was Ron's first assignment. They told him over at the Post-Gazette, we got a hell of a fight coming up here, David and Goliath.
After covering Honus Wagner's debut in the MLB.
I think that came a few years later, but yeah, and Ron wrote a great story. He scratched into a little tablet. He had a little stone and he scratched his story into the tablet. It was wonderful.
Oh, yes. When hieroglyphics were created and stone carvings in caves were made, there was Ron to capture it all.
He was there. But seriously, it's that story over and over and over again. And it never fails to capture. If who's playing Duke again? The team from the other night?
Mount St. Mary's.
They start to give them a great game. You'll have people glued to their television sets. You'll have people backing them in the arena. It's just it's what makes this tournament unique. He's 100% right with that, I think.
No doubt. And you know, when I think about the most memorable moments that you take away from the tournament, it's that I can hear that Kevin Harlan call of the Furman, Virginia game when Virginia, who came into it as a five seed against a Furman team that was like, you know, it's just one of those mid-major bubble type of teams, like just trying to pull off an upset. They get a steal, 5 seconds left, hit a three, good. I think it's St. Peter's immediately. I mentioned FDU and UMBC. And I think about last year with Oakland. I was there to cover it and talk to Jack Golke, talk to Trey Townsend. I talked to Greg Campy, Oakland's coach, a couple of times, one-on-one. We had him on the show. Those are the moments that are just so awesome. And you remember those more than any, I think, outside of like the Final Four. But you remember those games and those moments in the first couple of rounds where it is against teams that nobody thought was going to win. Or maybe you pick it as just an upset pick, hoping that it'll happen. And it's just wonderful.
The crowd was going wild when David pulled out the stone and the sling and shot it at Goliath, the Philistine warrior, who was a 13-point favorite.
We're going to call the invention the slingshot because he slang it across the room and shot him right in the knee with it. And
Where did that shot go? Where did that shot hit Goliath? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Has history recorded that? Did it hit him right in the head?
We don't know if we have record of Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points on video. Do you think we really have David and Goliath captured?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a game story. Well, there obviously is. Yeah, there's a story from it, actually. Okay. Limits, let's go to Donnie Football.
Donnie Football, yes. With the quiz show that we're going to have to come up with some good questions here.
And Donnie is apparently playing injured today.
Yes.
Which should be interesting. So we have a quiz show and a Bechtold breakdown coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township.